Indeed, our Father in heaven will take care of us. Thank you so much for being here again. We have some new faces here with us. May God bless you for being here with us as well. It has been a great blessing to be able to spend time here with the brethren, to Don and to Steve, the leadership, the elders here. Thank you for this opportunity, and your wives, and to all the brethren here. Thank you so much. It's been a blessing to spend time with you all, and those who are traveling through, spending time with us here on a Saturday. Thank you as well for the encouragement. Very happy Nikki and Josh are here with us as well, and those from the community. So thank you all for your attention this morning. Well, my prayer is already answered. I said, listen, if you have some explanation to help me out in 1 Kings chapter 18 or 19, please let me know. And God answered my prayers. Not through ravens or anything like that, but Brother Hamilton gave me one of the best explanations of a passage there in 1 Kings 19. And I appreciate that, brother. Thank you very much. And we're going to have a 12 o'clock sermon. No, we won't do that. We'll stop. We're going to stop here. We won't have another one, all right? Don't worry. We're going to stop on time. But brought a great, some great thoughts, and I really appreciate that. That definitely will help me out as well. So we've been talking about worry. I want to begin with a question here, maybe more so of a statement. Can it really be that simple? This is something that a friend of mine texted me sometime earlier this year. He has been going through some things and was worried a little bit. And so I shared with him Matthew chapter 6. Will you open your Bible there, please? Can we read this one more time together? Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse number 24. Can it really be this simple? Listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 6. Nikki loves the Sermon on the Mount. She studies this a lot. And she's smiling and laughing right now. Look at verse number 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Verse 27. And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Worry actually takes time away instead of adding time. And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we wear? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can it really be this simple? Now, the words of Jesus seem to be very straightforward. Would you agree? He lays it all out for us about the mindset, the attitude, the faith that we are to have. These are very easy to read, and for me to stand up here in a nice sunny day, Saturday morning, air-conditioned building here, surrounded by people who love the Lord. But in reality, at times, this can actually be a little bit challenging, which is why Jesus spent so much time talking about overcoming worry. Now, we've covered a lot of territory in just a few days. He chose to stay. We talked about that on Wednesday. We talked about Jesus doing the will of God and following through and sacrificing his life for us. We talked about how to overcome worry and how to overcome worry from the past and today and then tomorrow. We talked about that Thursday night. We looked at a great king by the name of Jehoshaphat last night, one of the kings of Judah, and how he said, "Oh Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We talked about how we respond in difficult times. And last hour, we looked at a mighty prophet by the name of Elijah and how he found himself by that juniper tree, which to us can represent worry and fear and depression, and how he was able to move away from that. I know these sermons, Lord willing, are being recorded. And if anyone wants any of the sermon outlines, we'll be more than happy to print those out or email those to you as well. So what's left? Well, a strong resolve, I think, is left. A commitment, a decision, a choice to be made. That we're no longer going to be consumed by worry. We're no longer going to allow it to hold us back, but rather, we're going to start living. By that, I mean seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking to do the will and work of God, the purpose of God, even more. And building and growing our faith so that we can be pleasing even more to our Father in heaven. So what might this look like? Well, this last session, this last sermon is called Do Not Worry. And I want to begin with this first point here, that what if we just decided that we're not going to worry anymore? That's exactly what Jesus is saying, isn't he? Do not worry. People say, well, Jesus never, the New Testament never gives us do's and don'ts. Yes, it does, because Jesus said, do not worry. What if we just decided we're just going to stand upon that and trust exactly what Jesus says? Our lives would instantly be better. Our faith will grow. We have every reason not to worry. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. Jesus teaching on prayer. He says, when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, you see the expectation Jesus has of us going to him in prayer? Go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Here are some more do's and don'ts, this time about prayer. But notice what he says in verse number 8. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That is reason for us not to worry. Our God already knows exactly what we need, so why go to him in prayer? Because he wants us to trust in him. He wants us to turn to him. He wants our eyes to be on him like Jehoshaphat and understand that we don't have the power, but he does. This is reason for us not to worry. Our Father already knows what we need, and he tells us that he will give us what we need. This is why we pray in verse number 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Not yesterday's crusty bread or old bread or tomorrow's bread, but just for today. Give us our bread right now, today. Please, God. We have the example of the story of God giving the Israelites manna. And you just take up enough that you need for today. They had to trust him that every morning that manna was going to be there. We have reason not to worry because of what our Father knows. He knows what we need. He sees us. He tells us to make these requests to him. He helps us to see where our mind should be and what we need to avoid. In verse number 19, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. You know, possessions that we have often are sources of worry, aren't they? When we have more and more things and more stuff, that can actually increase the amount of worry because we get so concerned about our possessions. But let us never forget all the possessions that we have, all the toys, not just for the kids, but also for the adults, right? We have toys and things that we like with our cars and things like that. They can be gone in an instant. I can remember back in 2017 when we lived in Beaumont, Texas, and Hurricane Harvey came through, or the remnants of Hurricane Harvey. It wasn't even the hurricane. And we went to members' homes, at least 30 houses, completely destroyed. And we threw all this stuff out on the curb. Don't put your faith in your possessions. They can be gone in an instant. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It may be that our heart is not in the right place, which is why we have more worry than we really need to. Let's make sure that our heart is in the right place. Notice in Luke chapter 12 what Jesus says here as well. In Luke chapter 12 and verse number 33 about worry. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 33. Jesus is going to remind us not to keep on worrying. Actually, Luke chapter 12 and verse number 29. He says, "And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying." He talks about these possessions later on. We don't have to continue to go down this path of worry, worry, worry. He reminds us, going back to Matthew chapter 6, he reminds us about where our minds need to be. We are to seek Him. We are to be fully devoted to Him. Go back to Matthew chapter 6 and remember what He says here in verse number 24. We have to make a choice. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. When our eyes are on God, when we're devoted to God, that naturally is going to help us when it comes to overcoming worry. If our minds are focused on our wealth and possessions, if our trust is in our riches, we will be disappointed. We have every reason not to worry. He tells us what our Father knows, how we are to act, what we're to avoid, and what we are to seek. Seek first the kingdom, His kingdom, and His righteousness. God must be priority number one above our education, above our entertainment, above everything else, even our families, even ourselves. He must be number one. We have every reason not to worry. Can it really be this simple? The answer to that is yes. Our Savior, what He says, it is always correct. He is always right. We have to decide if we're going to believe in Him. I'm reminded in John 16 and verse 30, when He was talking to His apostles shortly before He died, they said, "Now we know that you know all things and have no need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Do we know that He knows all things? Do we know that there's never a time where we have to question what He says about whether or not it's the best way for us to live or to believe? He knows all things. We don't have to worry. What if we just said, "I'm just going to stop worrying about the cares that have been concerning me for so long"? Have you been keeping on with respect to worry? Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. Do not worry. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us to stop with the worry and to trust even more. That's not the sermon, but I could stop there. But someone may be thinking, "I'm still struggling with this. I hear everything you just said, but I still struggle with worry." Well, good, you're not alone, because we all still struggle with worry from time to time. What else can we do? Let me give you another thought. Number two. Catch and release. I mentioned this earlier, maybe on Thursday night. When we find ourselves on the road of worry, catch and release. I was walking our dog Teddy in our subdivision, and we have some lakes in the subdivision, and there was a sign. I actually heard this idea of catch and release from a book I was reading on audible.com, but we have the principle already in the Word of God. There's a sign with respect to fishing. If you catch a fish, you're supposed to release it and put it back in. And I love that, because this idea of catch and release is so important for us. We need to catch when we find ourselves going down this path of worry. One of the best exercises to do, and Brother Hamilton and I, we were talking about that with Elijah. Elijah was telling himself some things that were not true. "I alone am left. Obadiah was there, the prophet. He had hid some other prophets as well. Elijah was not truly the only one that was left. When we find ourselves going down this path of worry, number one, ask ourselves, what exactly are we worried about? We might be amazed that maybe sometimes we can't fully articulate what it is that we're worried about. But at least trying to identify what is it that is actually worrying me or causing me some concern will definitely help us. And as we think about this idea of trying to figure out what may be on our mind or what is worrying us, we need to remember that we don't have to let it take resident up in our hearts. It doesn't have to remain. In fact, again, in Philippians chapter 4, Paul tells us to dwell on these things. Ask yourself, what is it that I dwell upon? What is it that is taking up residence in my mind? Dwell on these things. What things, Paul? Where he tells us, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell or ponder or meditate on these things. We can catch these thoughts and these moments and this path that we find ourselves often going on. And when we do, we can make a decision that we are going to release or give them to God. And we know exactly how to do that. We do that in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 5, one of the great passages that has helped me. In 1 Peter chapter 5, these Christians were going through suffering. Their life was not necessarily easy, but they are reminded about God and how He loves them, how He cares for them. Never forget that our Father in heaven cares for us. He says in 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting, to throw along or beside, casting all your anxiety on Him. Which means that at times we will have some anxiety. But what we do with it is going to be critical. Casting all your anxiety on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. That's what God tells us to do. We can catch and release. Figure out what it is that's worrying us. Figure out maybe even where the source of that worry is coming from. Is it social media? Get rid of it. Is it the news? Eliminate it. Whatever it may be, what can we do to decrease that? Maybe our faith needs to increase, and we need to saturate our minds even more with the Word of God. How important is this? Brothers and sisters, this is absolutely critical. For the young people here in school, no matter what your age may be, whether you're homeschooled in college and high school, you need to keep your minds on Jesus. You need to keep your mind on things above. I think about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 10. Daniel was in Babylon. And going to college today and even high school, that's like going to Babylon, all right? You're in Babylon University. But Daniel was able to rise above that world that he was a part of. His mind was on the Lord. And three times a day, he had a custom of going to God in prayer. This is not something that is optional. This is not something when our schedule slows down. This has to be priority number one. Stay connected to your God. I must stay connected to God, and so do you. We need to lay aside whatever the issues or challenges or things or even people that may hold us back and bring us away from, or take us away from God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the weight that is set before us. Worry, if not careful, can turn into something far worse and can cause us to do things that God would not want us to do. Lay aside and figure out what it is that maybe you need to lay aside, so that we can continue to seek after God with all of our heart and do His will. Do not worry. There's no reason for us to. We can overcome it even when we do have these moments of anxiety, as Peter said. We can catch and release. So let me ask you this. Is there something that's been consuming your thoughts lately? Worry? Anxiety? What is it? Your brothers and sisters and friends and family, we all get tired eventually, right? And we go to bed. But you may really need to talk to someone. You can call and text, and they don't pick up. You text me late at night, I may not get back to you till the morning. I may not even hear the phone. But God in heaven is always available. And we need to turn to Him. Catch and release whatever it may be that's troubling you. Let go of those things that are holding us back. Number three, learn and live. One of the new Bible verses that we have in the Lee household, we're trying to put a Bible passage to memory this month, is Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 11. Will you turn over there? Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 11. The Bible says here in Proverbs 26 and verse number 11, like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. We need to learn and live when it comes to overcoming worry. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. We don't have to continue to make or go down the same paths that we know are only going to lead to destruction, that we know are only going to increase worries and anxiety. Many times, some of the worries that we have may be self-induced. They may not necessarily be because of sin, but it can be self-induced, and we don't have to continue to go down the same path. What we do need to do, we need to take God's word more seriously. We need to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding, acknowledging Him in all that we do, and He will set our paths or direct our paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. One of the big sources of worry is sin. When we sin, when we come short of the glory of God, we need to learn from that and live and go and sin no more. That's what Jesus told the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Go and sin no more. Whether it's sin or other things that we have done, why not learn and live and listen to what God says? Take His word seriously. Take His warnings seriously. Adam and Eve, they were warned, but they didn't listen. And their lives got a lot more challenging. Achan did not listen, and he led his family into a valley of trouble. Korah and Dathan and other men in Numbers chapter 15 didn't listen and respect the authority that God had given to Moses, and they were swallowed up with their families. Learn and live and take what God says seriously in His word. When He says, do not worry, take that seriously. It's not just some kind of hashtag or something that can make us feel good. No, it's something that we need to believe. It's something that we need to live. When Peter says, casting all your anxiety to Him because He cares for us, that's not something just we read very quickly. Yeah, I like how that sounds. No, we have to practice that. Learn and live what it is God tells us. Here's something else that we can do to overcome worry and why we have reason not to worry. One of the things that may be a little bit more challenging at times in life is that we have to face our physical reality. This gets hard. I mentioned a sister in Christ. She died a few months ago. Her name was Kelly. She was married to a preacher, diagnosed with cancer. She lived for 5 more years after that initial diagnosis. It was a shock to her and her family. It was difficult. It was hard. And it had to become a new reality. She fought. She took chemotherapy. And we prayed and people prayed. And God blessed her with 5 years. Blessed her with 5 additional years. But she did die. But the way she faced death was such an encouragement to me and for other people. Nikki saw it, the confidence that she had, the reality of what was happening. But every day she still kept walking by faith. She had to accept her reality. Sometimes that's hard to do. Have you ever struggled with that? I was 30 when I got diagnosed with an enlarged heart. Got my defibrillator a few years later. That's a hard reality to face. But we can face reality in a couple of ways. Or I guess we can either face it or we can ignore it. But is that really going to be effective? We have to learn how to face our physical realities. I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember his reality? Remember what he had? Paul did all the right things too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. One of my prayers was already answered asking that question about Elijah. If you got any thoughts of what the thorn in the flesh was, please let me know. I know there's some other questions that people have about this, but Paul had some kind of thorn in the flesh. He says in verse 7, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, verse 8, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. He's praying fervently, take this thorn away. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Isn't that interesting how God answers? The Father answered this way. The Son answered this way. My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. No, that thorn's going to remain, Paul. But I'm going to help you through it. You're going to have to rely upon my strength. Paul responded the same way that Elijah did. He did what God said. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul had the right attitude. He had to face his reality. He learned how to be content in every circumstance. Philippians chapter 4, remember this? What was his reality there? His reality was he's in prison in Philippians chapter 4. But his reality and the situations of his life didn't rob him of his joy, didn't rob him and cause him to become bitter towards God and think about leaving God or become consumed with it. Rather, he learned how to be content. That's a very important thought. He learned how to be content. We have to learn some things as Christians, how to be zealous for good works or good deeds. We also have to learn how to be content. There is work that has to be involved in this. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 10, I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in every in whatever circumstances I am. What are your circumstances? We all have them, don't we? We all have our circumstances. We can decide how we're going to respond to them. Yes, do what we can to improve them if possible. But in the same time, we trust in God and rely on His power. And we are content in whatever circumstances. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both in having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Elijah needed God. Jehoshaphat needed God. Paul needed God and His power and His grace. This is how we can endure. This is why we don't have to worry. This is how we can overcome. He learned how to be content. His faith grew even while he suffered. Do not worry. How can we do that? We face our physical realities. I told you earlier I got this title or theme, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, from the book by Dale Carnegie. In one of the chapters, he has a part where he says, be willing to have it so. Be willing to have it so. And that, I think, is just the idea of understand, okay, well, this is the reality, my current circumstance at this time. But there is also something else that we need to remember as Christians. We need to remember, yes, our current reality and be willing to have it so, but we need to remember our eternal reality. This is not the end of our story right here. This suffering and challenges that we face is temporary. We are going to heaven. That is our ultimate destination. Not Disney or some kind of degree, nothing wrong with those. Or a certain position in our careers. Heaven is the ultimate destination. That's where we're going. So we can live in our physical realities and face them. We don't have to be naive and ignore or be consumed because we know our eternal reality. And we know that our Father will give us the strength that we need. This is how we can not worry. We can change the situation and lean upon God even more. Face your physical reality. You want to stop worrying? Stay busy. Stay busy. Now, that shouldn't be too hard because that's what we do as Americans, right? We are always busy. Someone ever asks you, how you doing? You ever respond, I'm busy, but I'm good. Are you? We know how to stay busy. But we got to make sure we have the right kind of busy. I love the example that Paul gave or gives us. Remember in Acts chapter 26 or chapter 16, verse number 25, Paul's in prison with Silas. Now, again, here's another circumstance that Paul had to endure. And here, this particular circumstance, that you know, this wasn't something he had brought upon himself. He's doing the right thing. But Paul and Silas are staying busy. They could have worried about their situation, but instead they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. A much better alternative to worry is to worship. As we worship God, we will be reminded of his great power and his great strength. Look at the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. Again, we find Paul in not the best or ideal circumstances. But what is he doing? He is teaching the word of God. Paul, in verse 23, when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. From both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening, that's a full day of work. That is staying busy in the right way. Is there someone that we need to try to persuade about the gospel? Our children, we can start there. Our spouses, we can start there. Our neighbors, we can start there. Our friends, we can start there. We can stay busy, even when circumstances are not the best. Stay busy and replace worry with worship. Stay busy and teach others. I love Acts chapter 8, not because Stephen died there, that's a tragedy, but I love the response of God's people. Look over in Acts chapter 8. Saul, he was in agreement with putting Stephen to death. Verse number 1 of Acts chapter 8, on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He put them in prison. Therefore those, here it is, who had been scattered went about preaching the word. What? Can anything good come out of suffering? You better believe it. They made a decision. When they were scattered, they could have worried, and maybe they did have some worry and anxiety if you got Paul chasing you. That's a good reason. But it didn't stop them. They stayed busy, and they did the work of God. This is how we live. This is how we stop worrying and start living. This is how we can overcome. We stay busy. As you think about overcoming worry, we're going to have to do something else. We're going to have to fully surrender to the Lord. fully surrender to God. I don't have any power, and neither do you. Even King Jehoshaphat knew that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. He said in his prayer, we are powerless. We don't have any power, but we look to you, O Lord. Our eyes are upon you. Have we fully surrendered to God and what he wants for us? We have to be willing to do that. And what this is going to look like, we're going to have total reliance upon God. Think back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read that together. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, notice what Paul said here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. There are going to be times where we may feel burdened excessively beyond our strength and in despair. And our trust cannot be in ourselves, but it has to be in the one who raises the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us, that's how we're going to be delivered, only because of him, from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us he on whom we have set our hope. And he will yet deliver us. Like Jehoshaphat, Paul's hope was on the Lord. And we have to fully surrender to him. This is how we can overcome worry. And I'm not saying that we're necessarily going to have, you know, we're still going to have some challenges and struggles. But in these kinds of moments, Paul, he knew the only way I'm going to get through this is by God's strength. This is the only way. And sometimes we may just focus too much upon our own wisdom or strength or power. And I put 2 Peter chapter 5 back up because I was studying with another preacher. He came over to our house during one of our gospel meetings at West Main. And we're just kind of talking about pride. I've been reading some C.S. Lewis, one of his devotional books, and it struck me just kind of thinking about worry and pride, how, if not careful, pride may be underneath some of the reasons why we may have a hard time handing everything over to the Lord. Because we say to ourselves, well, look at all the things I've done in my career. If I'm able to figure all of that out, then certainly I can figure this out. I got this. I don't know, do you? I don't. You don't either, if we're being honest. And maybe there's a reason why he talks about humility, about God, and how he gives grace to those who are humble in verse 5, and how we ought to humble ourselves under his mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. All of that's a unit there. Maybe there's something here with respect to pride that does not always allow us to fully surrender to him the way that he wants us to. That's how we're going to be able to overcome worry. And we must humble ourselves. Our egos have to go. Pride must be put aside. Self must be put on the shelf. That's what a preacher would always say. And there's a lot of truth to that. Humble yourself before or under the mighty hand of God. This is how we can stop worrying. Finally, do your part and trust God. I love what Brother Hamilton shared with me. That was one of the things that he said, right? Where, Elijah, why are you worrying about something that God's going to take care of? Let God handle that. And I love the story in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, a small little parable here that has helped me out. Mark chapter 4, rather. In Mark chapter 4, I want you just to look at this parable here real quickly, and then the sermon will be yours. Mark 4 and verse number 26, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. The worry can come in a lot of shapes and sizes, can't it? Money, death, egotistical worry, worrying about, you know, helping other people or evangelism, so many different ways that worry can creep into our hearts. And it can disrupt our sleep. One of the things I love about this parable here is what the man did. Notice what he did, number one. He took action and he cast seed upon the soil. Then number two, he went to bed. And I love that. He got a good night's sleep because he had done what he could do. And now he had to trust in what God was able to do. It was God that gives the sprouts and grows and allows the things to grow. And it's God with the soil that produces the crops by itself. And then when he has another opportunity, he gathers up the harvest. He did his part and trusted God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And that's what we need to do as well. We need to do what we can do according to God's will. And we need to leave certain things in the hands of God. God is able, and he will do things in his time. He will exalt us in due time. Do our part and trust in him. That's how we can overcome worry. So what does Jesus tell us? He tells us not to worry. He tells us to trust. He tells us to seek. He tells us to go. He tells us to pray. That's a lot for us to do. Do not worry. We have a lot to do today and a lot to do that can help us to overcome worry. I began and I want to end with another question. Is it really possible? Can it really be this simple? I believe the answer is yes. Is it going to happen immediately? Maybe not just immediately. If our faith needs to grow, we need to start building on that today. And we need to trust what God can do for us in our lives. We need to turn our eyes to him and see how he can change our fears to rest, as he did with so many in times past. I appreciate your attention. Thank you for this opportunity. We're going to stop here in about 60 seconds. We're going to sing a song of invitation. The song of invitation, as many of us know, is an opportunity for someone to make a request. We had someone last hour who requested prayer, and maybe someone else needs that as well. The biggest concern that all of us should have if we're outside of Jesus Christ is our soul salvation. And the good news is we don't have to worry about what we need to do, because the Bible is very clear with what we need to do. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned." Jesus wants all men to be saved. And we can take care, if that is a concern or worry about your soul salvation. You know you are not saved from your sin, which separates us from God. You can do something about that today. It's God ultimately doing the work. He's the one that's going to remove your sins when you are obedient to him. Do you need to be saved? Do you need prayer? Now is your opportunity. Let's stand and let's sing one more song.